Welcome, pilgrims, to the El Camino de Santiago Pilgrims Podcast, where we talk all things Camino de Santiago, tips, tricks, and hacks to make your Camino a little more enjoyable. First off, let me start off by saying I apologize for our absence. It seems we had a bit of inclement weather here in Texas, which left most of us without power or water. But we are in good shape, and as pilgrims often do, we persevere onward. But enough about me. Let's get right back into this next episode. We are joined by Jera Lemus. Jera is actually a Camino family member of our previous guest, Maria Engel. Welcome, Jera Lemus from Reno, Nevada. Jera is a pilgrim who walked the Camino Francés in 2019. How is the weather up in Nevada right now?
Hey, Andrew. Yeah, the weather here, well, the last few days it's been pretty nice, but yeah, it's pretty cold here.
Someone told me today that this is the first time in 60 years that it has snowed on the same day in all 50 states.
Oh, seriously? Wait, my friend Maria, who I met on the Camino, is in Florida, and it's really hot there.
Really? Someone told me there was some part in Florida that got a little bit of snow.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe she's on the opposite side.
Maybe. thank you so much for joining us. Of all the fun things you could be doing in Reno, you're jumping on the El Camino de Santiago Pilgrims podcast, and where we talk all things Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James.
Yeah, nothing I'd rather be doing.
So let's start there. Let's imagine we're running into each other in Santiago de Compostela. You've just gotten your Compostela from the pilgrim's office. We're sitting down, we're having a beer, and we just strike up a conversation like most pilgrims often do. Mm-hmm. And I ask you, how did you end up here? What brought you on the Way of St. James?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. I studied abroad in 2018. I did a whole summer in Alicante, Spain, and then I went back and did another 8 months there. So at that point, I was like completely obsessed with Spanish culture and the language, and honestly, just being abroad was what I wanted to do. So I found out about the Camino when I was living there, and I had been wanting to do it for a couple of years. From the first time I went in 2017. And so I'd kind of had this plan, and by the time I went, I had just been looking forward to it for so long that I was like, yeah, this is the time. This is exactly what I want to be doing. But then also the time that I went, I was kind of in a place where I was getting close to graduating with my undergrad, but I was really unsure of the path I wanted to take after graduation. And I really wanted some time away to just think about what I wanted to do and to have some clarity on like what's my next step, what's my next season of life going to look like. So that's kind of what brought me there.
So you have been familiar with the Camino for a while, it seems, and your friends and family, they're used to the idea of you being abroad. What did they say when you told them that you were going to embark on this medieval pilgrimage?
Yeah. My family is very used to me having these crazy ideas and wanting to go abroad and do this and do that. And so they already kind of probably expected it. But by the time I decided to do it, I don't know if they were, I'm sure they were worried, especially my dad. He's pretty protective, but they told my stepbrother about it. And I don't know if it was like, just because they thought he would really like to do it or if they were worried about me going alone. But they told him about it, and he ended up coming with me. So yeah, some concern, some excitement, and some, I guess just my mom really wanted to do it with me. And so since then we've talked about it, same as my grandpa. So I think everyone was pretty happy that I was doing it.
So you're actually the first person I've met or I've talked to that walked with a sibling, even though it was a stepbrother. Mm-hmm. We're gonna consider that a sibling. What was that like? Did you feel a little safer, a little more secure, or was there maybe a feeling of, okay, I really need my independence here. I'm going to make it a point to separate from you while we're on Camino.
Yeah. I think a little bit of both, but, I would say more so the first. So my stepbrother, I didn't really know him, until about 2 years before we left for the Camino. So our parents had gotten married, I think in 2016. So we didn't know each other really well, and he's been living in a different state, since I met him, really. So, we didn't have that strong sibling bond before we left. So it was really, really cool for that reason. We had that opportunity to really get to know each other and to bond. But then, you know, it was nice. It was really nice having him there. It definitely felt safer, and it felt, I felt like I could kind of branch out more because I had him there. But then on the other hand, and I think he felt this a little bit too, at times it was hard because I felt a sense of like, I needed to protect him. I need to make sure he's okay. I need to be there to be his translator. You know, I need to make sure he's not doing anything stupid. I need to make sure he's not getting himself in trouble. So it was like that instinct, that like older sister instinct to say like, I need to watch over him. But for the most part, it was a really, really great experience to be with him there.
So going back to Santiago de Compostela, when you're in that pilgrim office and you're getting your Compostela, and they ask you, what is your reason for going on the way? What was your reason?
Yeah. You know, that's a hard question. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just remember before I went, I would walk around my neighborhood. I love being outside. Obviously you kind of have to go on the Camino, but, I would walk around and I would just think there's nothing else I really want to do with my life right now besides walk around and talk to God and listen to music and just be out in nature. So, I mean, honestly, it was a really simple reason. It was kind of just that. And then also, like I said before, I really wanted that time to reflect on what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. I didn't really know what I wanted to do career-wise, and I wasn't really sure of just a lot of things. Like, I wanted to have some time to reflect on relationships and to reflect on things I had done previously, to have time to, just time to grow, honestly, and be in solitude.
I feel like that's one of the most personal questions most pilgrims encounter is when you reach that pilgrim's office, you've been walking for so long, you're often a completely different person that began the Camino. And so when they ask you, normally it's a simple question. Did you walk for religious, spiritual, or adventurous, or other reasons? It's so much more than one of those answers.
Absolutely. I think definitely it was all three of those.
So let's get into your preparation. You were well familiar with Spanish culture, spending a few semesters abroad. Mm-hmm. What was a way you perhaps prepared yourself mentally for walking a Camino, because it's something that's hard to simulate walking over a month, 25 kilometers every day.
Yeah, it was. It was really hard to prepare for that. Well, let's see. I'm sorry. So you asked what I did to prepare mentally?
Correct.
Yeah, like I said, I did a lot of walks outside to prepare physically and mentally. But when I would go and walk outside, just like around my neighborhood, and just kind of, I would just find myself wondering, like, oh, what's it going to be like when I'm on the Camino? You know, what am I going to think about? What am I going to listen to? What books am I going to read? All that stuff. And I planned out so many different things. And I think I was really kind of scared that I was going to run out of things to do on the Camino. And that might sound a little bit ridiculous because you're doing the Camino, but I was really scared that I would get bored. And so I downloaded so many podcasts, so many books, and I kind of listed off, like, these are all the things that I want to come back with. Like, I want to understand, what is my next step in life? I want to understand, what am I going to do career-wise? These are the ways I want to improve myself and the ways I want to improve my relationships. And this is how I'm going to do it. So I was like such a planner in that way. But that's kind of what I did. I just planned out, like, okay, if I'm going to be productive on this, what am I going to try to learn here?
So in that answer, you mentioned you were afraid of running out of things to do. Mm-hmm. Well, were there any other fears you may have experienced before or during the Camino?
Before? I don't think before I had a lot of other fears. I was not afraid of going abroad by any means. I was so excited. Yeah, I wasn't really afraid of the physical aspect. I've always been very active and very fit. So that wasn't really any concern for me. I think I was a little bit scared to, I was a little bit scared of, like, meeting people and kind of what that would be like. You know, I didn't really know, was I going to walk completely alone most of the time? Would I be with my stepbrother most of the time? Or would I meet new people, and what was that going to look like? But honestly, I think the most of it was just, I was really scared. I think it was a true concern that I was going to run out of things to do or to think about.
You know, that's an answer I've never heard before from a single pilgrim. And it's really fascinating. It just goes to show you how different every journey is. And they're all so unique, even though you can count millions of pilgrims who have been walking this since the 8th or 9th century. That's one I've never heard. Well, let's get into this. We've talked about your mental preparations. Let's talk a little bit about your equipment. Obviously, people would consider your backpack, shoes, socks, probably the most important items you bring along with you. Mm-hmm. What was, let's say, number four on the most essential items you brought with you?
The most essential. For me, I don't think this is for everyone. For me, it was my notebook. I have always really, really loved to write. And for me, this was, you know, like I said, I wasn't so worried about the physical aspect of it, but I really wanted to remember. You know what, as I'm talking, sorry, this is a side note, but you're talking about fears before this. A big, huge fear of mine was the Camino ending. I was so terrified that, you know, and of course it's bound to end, but I was so terrified that the Camino was going to end. And so bringing my notebook, for me, that was kind of a safety net, because I could write all of the memories. I could write every detail. And I could describe every scene, and then kind of just in hopes, like, I'll be able to go back and relive this whenever I want to. And that's exactly what it's done for me. So that was my fourth most essential.
So your notebook, let me ask you this. If there was one thing you wish you could have brought with you going back to the beginning of your journey, is there something you regretted not bringing with you?
Honestly, I don't think so. I had everything. I was like ultra prepared for the Camino. So no, I had everything.
All right. Well, then let's evolve into this question. If there's one luxury item you maybe brought with you, aside from your notebook, or maybe a luxury item you may bring next time, what would that be?
Well, yeah, actually, my ukulele. So,
that's a wonderful item.
Yeah. So, my stepbrother and I, before we left on the Camino, we stopped in Bordeaux, France, and we spent a couple of days there. And he's really into music. And so, you know, he's great at it. He bought a little mini guitar, and I think I just wanted, I really wanted to be like him in that way. So I bought a little mini ukulele, and it ended up being like the best luxury item I ever could have had, because it brought so many people together. Like, I would be walking and random people, you know, random people come up to you anyways on the Camino, but that was like always a really big conversation starter, or kind of just a means for people to come up and talk to you. So, it definitely, kind of opened the gate for people to come up to me and to talk to me. But then also it brought all of us together kind of each evening. So, you know, we'd be in a town and we'd have dinner, and then we would, Cole and I, my stepbrother, mostly him, like rarely me, but you know, he would get out his little guitar and I would get out my ukulele and we would play just simple tunes. And everyone would come around and everyone would come and sit with us and, you know, have a glass of wine. And it was just so, so nice. So that was definitely, I was kind of surprised by it. You know, it made my backpack heavier for sure. But yeah, it was a really great thing to have.
Well, I have to ask, what was your favorite thing to play?
So this is going to sound a little bit ridiculous, but I honestly don't know how to play anything.
So you're just strumming away.
Yeah. So like I tried. And so my stepbrother, when we were in St. John Pied de Port, when we were first starting, he wrote this song. He's like so like musically talented or whatever you want to call it. So he wrote this song and then he taught it to me. So that was like the only thing I knew how to play. But yeah, I was not good at it at all.
So you got to tell me about the song then. Is this a Camino specific song? Did he write it there?
Yeah, he wrote it there. It was like, well, I think that what happened, my memory is a little fuzzy, but I think that we decided we were going to write a Camino song for our family. And then it just kind of never happened. I don't know. We just kind of played this like nice little tune, and then he ended up writing other songs along the way. But I think that he got tired of having to teach me everything. But it was still really nice to have. Like, I would be carrying it around and people would come up and they'd be like, "Hey, can I play a song on your ukulele? Do you want to sit here and have lunch?" You know, and we would sit down and random people would borrow it. And then at the end, everybody, or like my Camino family that I was with, they all drew pictures on it and signed it. And it was just a cute little like sentimental thing that I had.
Is there a line you can share with us from that song?
Yeah. Can I try to play it? Hold on.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it. Absolutely.
Okay. This is not, me singing, but this is Cole, my stepbrother, and it's fantastic. He wrote this song kind of for all pilgrims, I guess.
Got blisters on our feet, think we're dying from the heat. Could you walk a mile in our shoes? El Camino is the way, it's just another day. Oh, we walk for miles, we walk for kilometers.
There you go. There's a little piece of it. I hope you could hear it.
Oh, absolutely. It's fantastic. There's so much in there that every pilgrim can relate to. And I love how, you know, he puts his own little American twist on there by there.
measurement of miles that you're always trying to do the math of in your head.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Every single day.
That's brilliant. So, yeah. So you're walking through. You have this ukulele. I feel like that alone would open yourself up to so many like incredible random moments with other pilgrims. Mm-hmm. Is there a chance encounter that really stood out to you? Maybe it was someone that you didn't walk the majority of the Camino with, but maybe just had one very brief, powerful encounter with.
Yes. One specific day comes to mind when you say that. So Maria, Maria was on the podcast last week or whatever. So her and I walked together every day. We met each other on the first day. And I guess there's two stories I'm going to tell. Sorry. So Maria and I met because we met up in the Pyrenees, like right before you start descending into Spain. And when I met Maria, it was honestly so funny because she thought that I was like the weirdest person in the entire planet. She's like, this girl looks like a zookeeper. I had like those little zip off like khaki pants and I had this really ugly hat on, like the like UV protected hat. And so it was super dorky, but her and I met and her and I became friends because we sat up there and we had a snack. And then I was like, I really want someone to take a video of me playing my ukulele here. And so I asked her and she sat with me for a while. And then after that, we became like best friends, soulmates. Like we became friends forever and we walked together from that day on. So that is one of, you know, that's one, an example of one of the times like that ukulele really brought me to people or to specific experiences. But then another is one day her and I were walking and we met these guys from France. And then this other couple from, I think they were from somewhere in England. And we ended up stopping and we got a beer with them, but we sat and we like everyone went around and played the ukulele. And we ended up sitting up on this hill. We played soccer and we sat and talked. And it was just so nice because they were people from, you know, they're people from different countries. And it was such a unique experience for us to all be sitting around and just enjoying our time together, you know, just kind of playing the ukulele and hanging out in the middle of one of our Camino days. So, yeah.
I think those moments were my absolutely favorite moments of the Camino, sitting around a table, having a glass of wine or a beer after a long day of walking and that high, long-lasting Spanish sun. And just hearing the different languages, sitting around a table with like 12 people with maybe four languages being spoken, but everybody's just sharing the joy and the camaraderie and the fellowship of being a pilgrim.
That's my favorite.
Yeah, I'll never forget those moments. Let's kind of dwell into that. Mm-hmm. Was there a moment that you felt maybe overwhelmed? I asked you about your fears, but was there a moment, maybe it was a good thing you were overwhelmed with joy, maybe something was difficult for you, but was there an overwhelming moment?
You know, yeah, there were a lot of overwhelming moments, most of which were overwhelming joy. Like, I just remember I would be sitting, I would stop so many times throughout the day. You know, a lot of people would like start walking and try to get to the destination and, like in a timely manner. I was totally not that way. I wanted to stop at every coffee shop and at every like pretty place and just sit and hang out. But every time I did, I just like the scenery was so incredible. And I would just stop and think like, how am I here? Like, I know how I got here, but like, how am I here right now? Like, I've been looking forward to this Camino for so many years, and now it's happening and it's going so fast, and I don't know how to slow it down, but this is the most incredible thing I've ever experienced. And I just remember I was overwhelmed because it was the most amazing thing I had ever done. And each day brought on the most amazing views and the most amazing conversations. And I met the most incredible people. And I couldn't really wrap my head around the fact that it was going to be over someday, you know, someday soon. Like, I just was not ready for that. So it was overwhelming in good and in bad ways.
Was there a specific moment or memory that you have that was that stood out especially?
Yeah, actually, there was one day. It was towards the end. I am not going to remember the town name. But there was one day we were walking. Oh, you know what? It was right after you passed the Cruz de Ferro and you put your rock down. And like leave your burdens, that whole thing. So it was after that day, and we were walking up into like the next mountain range. And everyone else who I was with, my little Camino family, they had gone ahead. And for some reason I was just kind of like walking by myself, which I didn't do very often. But I got up to the top, and the view was literally the most beautiful thing I had ever seen in my life. There were these like awesome green mountains behind me. And then the clouds were like covering them. I'm not going to be able to explain it, but they were like, yeah, I'm not even going to try it. Like, it's not going to do it any justice, but the way that like the clouds were sitting on the mountains, I just fell in love with it. And so I sat down next to, or kind of facing those hills, and I like got out my ukulele and I was like, I'm just going to sit here. I wrote in my journal, and then I just sat there and like played that, the only song I knew, like over and over. And like I said, all my Camino family had gone ahead of me. And so by the time I was getting ready to like walk back and meet them, it was so foggy, so foggy. And so I could hardly see anything in front of me. Like if I stuck my hand out all the way, there is no way I could have seen it. And I didn't have any cell service, and I didn't have my friends near me. I wasn't seeing any other pilgrims right next to me. And so I kind of got like really anxious, and I was like, oh my gosh, like where is everybody? Like, I can't see anything. Like, I know the direction I'm going, but I can't see if something's in front of me. I can't really tell where the arrows are, if it's pointing me in a different direction. And so I just paused and I got really scared. And then I just looked around and I thought, wow, I have never seen a sight so beautiful in my entire life. And I just remember thinking, you know what? If this looks like heaven, like there is no way in the world this is not what heaven looks like. And I just remember being so happy. Like all of a sudden I was like, my fears are gone. I don't even care where my friends are. Like, this is incredible. And I just sat there for a minute and like took it all in. And then finally, like, I don't know, after maybe 15 minutes, I got scared again, and I was like, okay, I should keep walking. I don't know where I'm going. But yeah, that was one of the days that really took me by surprise. And I felt really overwhelmed. I felt really overwhelmed because I had never seen anything so beautiful, but also I never wanted to leave that place in my whole life. And I was like, but I have to keep going. I have to meet my friends and I have to go to the next town. But I don't want to leave. So that was a little overwhelming.
It's quite a remarkable story. You're literally walking in the clouds at that moment. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss a little bit more about some of the preparation aspects and how you dealt with certain obstacles. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were in fairly decent shape. You like to stay very active. But I feel like even the strongest of us encounter some adversity physically while walking the Camino. What was something your body had to deal with during your 500 miles of walking?
Yeah. Thankfully, any physical pain I had was very minimal. I did get shin splints really bad. And I've always had those. I was a track runner and they come and go. So that was pretty hard. It made it hard to walk a lot of the time because of that. I didn't really have any blisters, which was pretty remarkable because everybody does. But I had like maybe one the whole time. But just the shin splints. And then I was kind of going through some like weird health things at the time. So I had a lot of like, just like abdominal pain and stuff, which made it hard, and like fatigue. So that made it hard to walk each day. But like, there was nothing that was gonna stop me from doing it, you know?
So the shin splints, that's a common ailment for a lot of pilgrims. What did you do to treat it?
Yeah, honestly, I don't even know if I did anything. Well, I stretched. Every morning before we walked, I would stretch my calves, and then I would try to stretch my shins. But yeah, I kind of got in the habit of stretching every morning and every night before I went to bed. And then like whenever we would stop to get breakfast or lunch or coffee, I would stretch there too. And that made a really big impact. It helped so much.
And I have to say that it was extremely rare that you didn't deal with blisters. Was there a certain piece of treatment that you used to prevent blisters? What's some advice you would have for caring for your feet?
Yeah, it was really rare. I was really shocked, but I don't know. I didn't do that much. I had this little, like, it looked like deodorant for your feet. And I would put that like on the back of my heels and then like on the sides of my feet. And it was kind of just like, I don't know if it was baby powder or what it was, but it looked like deodorant. And I put that on in the mornings. And then also, oh, this is a good trick. If you wear either the double, what do you call that? Like if you wear two pairs of socks.
Okay. If
you wear the double,
like the double lined socks?
Yeah, double lined. Thank you. Both of those things helped me a ton. And so I would wear two pairs of socks, or I would wear the double lined socks. And then like for lunch or sometime in the middle of the day, I would switch them out. And so my feet never got like really moist or whatever. And so I just didn't have blisters.
Well, definitely the Camino angels were looking out for you, keeping your feet nice and healthy.
Yeah.
So let's get into this. This is one of my favorite series of questions to always ask every pilgrim because they're always different. Mm-hmm. What was your favorite town or city?
Oh my gosh. Every single city. I have so many. That's a hard question.
Well, you have to share one then.
Okay. One of my favorites was, oh, what's the name of it? They all have a river, but it was definitely one with a river. You know what I really liked was Boadilla. I really liked Boadilla because of the experience we had there. We ended up spending like an entire day there and just kind of taking a break. But we like laid out and like suntanned for a while. And yeah, it was just a nice rest. I'm looking at my photos now and there's one that I'm thinking of. It is, oh, it's whatever one Maria said. It was so incredible. Okay, sorry.
You're fine.
I think Puerto Marin. I really liked that one. And then Hospital del Orbigo, I think is what it's called.
You know what? That one is mentioned so often. With a lot of pilgrims, there's a albergue there, a very holistic styled albergue that offers yoga and they have dogs just kind of running around the albergue that pilgrims loved. That in that town, like, was meant a lot to me just for the legend behind the bridge that you cross walking into town. The Honorable Pass, I think that's what they call it.
I didn't even know that. The day that we arrived there, Maria and I, so we actually shipped our backpacks. We shipped our backpacks that day because we were exhausted. And we left from, I think it was Leon. We left from Leon at like 1 p.m. Like, we were not about to get up early that day and try and walk. So we started walking and we had like, I don't even know, 20 something or 30 kilometers. And so we shipped our backpacks, but then there was this storm that came in. So we walked for like 30 kilometers. Neither of us had jackets. We had none of our stuff with us. And it was like pouring rain the entire day. And so then, like, I'm sure a huge part of why I loved that town is because when we finally arrived, I was like, this is the longest day of my whole life. And like, we finally made it. But it was really beautiful. And that bridge was, yeah, I really loved it there.
There's a legend. It's one of the sites for one of the most famous medieval tournaments. And in fact, there was a knight. I wish I could remember the details more clearly, but there was a knight there who was spurned by his lover. And so he actually stood on that bridge, and he sent out a challenge to all the knights of Europe. And I want to say he fought some 150 different knights until he gained his honor back. And afterwards, he went to Santiago de Compostela and went on pilgrimage and came back. And I guess he married the woman who had spurned him earlier.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
The Honoroso El Paso, I can't remember the name of it exactly, but it was one of the truly, like, very unique Camino legends that you come across on the Day of St. James.
Oh, that's so cool. Who knew?
So let's ask this. What was your favorite albergue?
Oh, well, my favorite albergue. There was one that I think all of us kind of really liked. It was in Nájera, I think it was. It was like right in the beginning of the Camino. But it was so cool. It was one of the ones that had like, I don't know, I don't even know how many beds, 100 beds, 200 beds, whatever. But it was really cool because it was kind of like just a giant sleepover. And so we like all slept on the top bunk of our beds. And it just, I don't know why I liked it so much. It was just so fun. And that was like right when we were getting to know our Camino family. And so it was just a really unique bonding experience for us. And then also that town was really nice. So we went out and made dinner together and sat on the grass. And then went and stayed in this nice hostel. But it wasn't like a nice hostel. It was like, it was a donation hostel. So it was nothing special, but it was fun.
And last, did you have a favorite restaurant? Or if you can't remember a restaurant, a favorite meal?
Oh my gosh. I'm obsessed with tortilla de patata. Obsessed with it. So I had that probably every single morning that I was there. That with fresh orange juice. So
you never got sick. I was honestly rotating my breakfasts.
I never got sick of it. I could probably eat tortilla every single day of my life and never get sick of it.
Fantastic. So yeah. Let me ask you this. Was there anything on the Camino that shocked you? That was just a wild, strange, weird sight.
I mean, a lot of things shocked me. But I guess it was just meeting so many new people from so many different cultures. That in itself was a pretty shocking experience, just getting to understand their different perspectives. And not only people from different cultures, but people of different ages, and getting to connect with them on such a deep level. But yeah, I don't think there was anything that really shocked me there. I think I was pretty open-minded going into it. So I don't know. I kind of knew just to expect anything.
So none of those moments in the giant municipal albergues where you're experiencing the unisex bathrooms, seeing all these guys get ready in front of you.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it was definitely took a little bit of getting used to. But I don't know, you get used to it really fast. It didn't bother me ever. But I mean, most of the time we were with our little Camino family. And so I just kind of didn't pay a lot of attention to that.
So you mentioned your Camino family quite mm-hmm. a bit. Tell me about some of them. We met Maria. Tell me about the rest of them.
Yeah, I love my Camino family. Well, we had a lot of people that I would consider my Camino family. In the very beginning, we had a guy from Germany who we're still all pretty close with. He was fantastic. We met him and walked with him most of the time. There was a guy from Mexico, a guy from Norway. And that was kind of the first group I was with, was those guys and Maria, and then my stepbrother Cole. But then a couple days into it, we met these two boys from Kansas. And they were the same age as my stepbrother. And so we started walking with them, and we ended up staying with them the entire time. So we became really, really close with them. We never really left them after that. And then still to this day, I mean, after the Camino, we went and visited them in Kansas and spent time with them. And we still all keep in contact quite a bit. So that's what I would consider my Camino family.
And so the Camino cliche is your journey doesn't truly begin until you reach Santiago de Compostela. What have you taken away post Camino? What have you learned, or what is still being shown to you that you wouldn't have been able to, I guess, experience or understand without your pilgrimage?
Yeah, definitely. That was kind of like an ongoing joke with us, was like, oh, your Camino hasn't started. The Camino doesn't start until you finish. But it's really true. I think one of the biggest things that I learned, and this goes back to my fear in the beginning, you know, I was really scared that I was going to run out of things to do, things to think about, things to listen to. And I think by the end of it, I really understood how to be still, or how to be okay without music or without something playing in my earphones. And I became a lot more comfortable just being in silence and not constantly planning things or constantly having thoughts going on in my mind, something to occupy myself with. That was probably the biggest thing, was just learning how to be still, I guess.
I feel like those long days on the meseta, those in particular kind of my mind of come to mind of just stillness, of just seeing the horizon off in the distance, not really moving much. There's not many features at different points to judge the distance you're walking. And so you're kind of left alone with that stillness.
Mm-hmm.
Often people talk about Camino angels. Did you have one who maybe showed up and saved the day?
You know, yeah, there, I never knew that was such a common thing that people talk about. But there was one day, and the day was kind of funny. We were going to stay in these tents. It was in this, I could not tell you the name of the town, but there was this, like, it was called an albergue, but they just had these little tents out and you could rent them. And we were going to rent those tents and sleep in them. But I just, like, I don't know, for some reason I was kind of feeling iffy about it, and I didn't really want to sleep in it because I was convinced there were bed bugs and like all kinds of stuff. But at that time, that's kind of when I was going through the period where mentally I was struggling a lot, because I felt like there was nothing going on in my brain. Like, I kind of got to that point where I was forced to be in silence a little bit. And it was a little bit scary, because I just remember walking and thinking, like, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to think. I don't have anything I want to listen to. And I'm sick of listening to myself right now. And so, like, I wanted to be completely silent and just walk. But then that was scary, because it felt like I was just walking like a zombie or something. I don't know. I was in this really weird state of mind. But I met someone that night. I sat and had dinner with these two people. And I just talked to them about it. It was weird, because that was like the first day that I really met these people. And it was such an intimate conversation. But I just explained to them, like, that I was feeling this way, and that I was really insecure about feeling this way. You know, I didn't know what was wrong, if something was wrong with me that I was like going through this, or, you know, I was just kind of, I was in a weird place. And that girl, I don't even remember her name. She was probably one of my Camino angels, because she made me feel so much better. And she just explained to me, you know, that this is something that I'm meant to learn on the Camino, and I'm meant to learn how to be in solitude and to be in silence, you know, that it's okay. I don't need to have these thoughts running through my mind. I can just be there. I can just be present and be there in the moment without having all these different things going through my head, or without learning something new or being productive. And so it was just, she kind of provided that space for me to, number one, just be accepted, but then also just to kind of let go of that expectation that I had for myself.
And so I want to wrap this up, and I feel like this will tie into maybe some of the recent experiences you just described. Mm-hmm. Was there a song, or maybe it was a song your brother wrote, or your stepbrother wrote, that was the soundtrack for your Camino?
Yeah. I have two. The first one, it's called Home. It's by, what is it? Edward Sharp and the somethings. I couldn't tell you, but, Edward Sharp and the something with an M. And that one, like, played every single day. I was obsessed with that song, and I'm not really sure why. I just loved it. And then the other one was Vienna by Billy Joel. And that one, yeah, that one, because it just, like, describes so perfectly the way I was feeling, or kind of my attitude towards life at the time, was just like, why am I such, like, I'm in such a rush. Like, I'm in such a rush to get here and to get there. And it's okay. I can just be here. You know, it, like, it's not, life is not going anywhere. I can just be here today. So I loved those two.
You know, he wrote that song because Vienna kind of sits at a crossroads between Eastern and Western Europe. And much like yourself, you were describing that you're wrapping up your undergrad and you were kind of at a crossroads.
Yeah. And
so Vienna waits for you, Jera.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. And hopefully you're back on the Camino again someday soon.
I hope so too. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you so much. And as always, buen Camino.
Buen Camino.
Slow down, you crazy child. You're so ambitious for a juvenile. But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it out. You got so much to do and only so much.